Let us turn to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 5. Want to pick up from verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it or for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's pray. Blessed God, we again commit this time into thy hands and ask that thou would follow thy word with blessing. Save this precious, holy name. Amen. We had before us the proposal. We had before us the engagement. And we had before us the espousal. In the day of the Lord's rejection is where we are at this moment. I just want to bring two portions in 1 Samuel to show the attitude we should have as we go in to this section of the preparation for the presentation of the bride. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Just only to add a little bit in relation to what John has brought before us. And reading verse 19. The king is rejected. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king. For thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, shall I this day make thee to go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee." And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or in life, even there also will thy servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go, pass over." And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. What an attitude. A day of rejection. And this is the time when the Lord Jesus is doing a work. There is a present ministry of Christ. There are some present ministries of Christ that needs to be brought to light. Right now, the Lord Jesus is a great high priest, the high priest. He is also an advocate, the one, as we said before, who seeks to maintain this wonderful communion that we should have with the bridegroom. Enjoy indeed this fellowship with the Father and the Son. He is also indeed the sanctifier. At this point, we are going to see his work on the bride. What was brought before us in is her faithfulness, her hope, and certainly that which is set before her, that she should be faithful. And in the book of the second chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, the Lord says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Faithfulness in the day of the Lord's rejection is what we need today. It was wonderfully expressed. But here it is. The present ministry of Christ, the bridegroom. He is sanctifying her. He's setting her apart. Really, this sanctification here is more than just being set apart for God's sacred service. He has given us more than he has removed, in a sense. So we want to see this from Scripture. What this sanctification means, and how he's preparing us for that day to present us to himself, a glorious church, not having any spot or any wrinkle or any such things. Because she is precious, the only thing on earth that the Lord Jesus sets his affection on is the church, is the assembly. I tell you, when you pause and you look at these things. Now, I want to turn first to the book of Exodus and chapter 3. I'll read Exodus chapter 2 and verse 21. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Now, Zipporah is a type of the church, just in application. Here it is. Moses was exiled. Moses left Egypt. And he is given a wife. And she stood with Moses. She had a son. And his name was Gershom. And you know what it means? A stranger here. Brethren, we are strangers here. The church is not for this planet. The church is for heaven. We are going to see this tomorrow. The church is for heaven. But right now the Lord is sanctifying her and cleansing her by water, by the water of the word. Let us turn now to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 2. Vashti had disrespected the king. And now he's looking for a new queen. And if you please, there's a beauty contest. And they were taking maidens to be brought before the king so he can choose which one he wants. I want to make this application to show the sanctifying process that takes place indeed while the Lord is away and his present ministry on the object of his affection. In verse chapter 3 and verse 4. And let the maids which please the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king. And so he did. Verse 8. So it came to pass, when the king commanded, his decree was heard. And when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Hege, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to be to the custody of Hege, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him. And she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification, but it's really for beautification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maidens unto the best place of the house of the woman. And Esther had not shown her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. Verse 12. Now when the maid's turn was come to go in unto King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of woman, for so was the days of their beautification, accomplished to it. 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the beautification of the woman. These three things I want to bring in relation to the present ministry of Christ. Now here is Esther. She's beautiful. And here she's been prepared for the king. Prepared for the king. What was given to her? The first thing was given to her is the oil of myrrh. And we went through this, brethren. The oil of myrrh, the suffering love of Christ. In every aspect of what we are talking about, this myrrh is coming to light again and again. Looking at Christ. Looking at the sacrifice he made for her. Looking at him going through the thorns, indeed to secure this lily for himself. Looking at Christ, yes, indeed on the cross itself, when he was spat upon, when his beard was plucked, when he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shearers is dumb, when he opened not his mouth, when he was brought from prison, indeed from judgment, from prison to judgment, where he went through six trials, brethren, he was at Annas first, then he went to Caiaphas, then he went to Pilate, then Pilate sent him to Herod, then Herod sent him back to Pilate, and then he went to the cross, because indeed the Lord Jesus, you know, the sons of Solomon again, where we have the triumph of love. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man give all the substance of his hopes for love, he will be rejected. But indeed, look at the love of Christ for the assembly. Look at Christ's love for the church. This is what was given to her, to beautify her, indeed to prepare her for this day of presentation, that she will be found without spot or wrinkle or any such things. Because indeed, we saw it, brethren, in the Song of Songs, in chapter 5, where she got indifferent. And indeed, it's when he put his hand in the hole of the knot and left this sweet smelling foot. It aroused her. She smelled it. What it reminded her of. For us, it reminded of Calvary. Calvary covers it all. Brethren, it tells us in the book of Lamentation, you know. Look and see. If there's any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which has been done unto me, from above the Father God had sent fire into my bones and he prevailed against me. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. I am the man who stood. I am the man who gave my all for you. And when you think of it, brethren, indeed when you read the Psalms, indeed he said, I sink in mire where there was no standing. He looked for some to find pity and there was none. Comfort is in war. There was none. None at all. And you ask indeed, listen, what you mean to say? This means nothing to me? You know, even the Spirit of God in the book of Romans chapter 5 said that God has shed abroad in our hearts, the love of God. God loves, the love of Christ Brethren, that passeth all understanding. That's Ephesians chapter 3. And we have in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 5, sorry. And verse 14. To know the love of Christ that passeth all understanding. And then we have in Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, peril or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. This is what was given to the bride. As it were, to sanctify her. What it has? It has a sanctifying effect on our hearts. Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wasn't it the Apostle Paul was placed in prison? And he looked back. Say, all has forsaken me. Forsook him. All in Asia turned their back against me. But when Paul was in the prison, looking forward to Nero going to cut off his head, he looked back at Timothy. Timothy was so discouraged. So discouraged. And he said, listen, Timothy. He says, no. Be thou not ashamed of the testimony of Christ. Not me as prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the affliction of the gospel of Christ. For the Apostle Paul says, I know in whom I believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The challenge is the work of Christ. When he indeed is working from on high. And there, this sanctifying effect. He says, I want to give you indeed for your beautification. For your indeed, as it were, a moral beautification. That you feast upon. Feast upon my suffering. What do you want? What do you want? I saw a lady, you know, and she had her hair well done. Well done. It was an old lady, really. And it was well done. I said to her, I see you've been to the beauty parlor. She says, and it cost me some money too. In other words, for us to be beautified and us to be morally reflecting the moral beauties of Christ, I tell you, saints, we need to dwell on the cross of Christ. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain, I come but loss, pour contempt on all my pride. See, the hymn writer said, see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled on. Did ever such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? I tell you, when you look at this, indeed, it really helps you to say, listen man, I'm going to fight. It's like ATI. Indeed, David telling him, listen, go back home. Go back home. You think we only want to follow Christ when things are good? Like the soldiers years ago, when there was no war, they enjoying the spoils of being in the navy, in the army, in the navy, in the marines. When fighting start, some start to desert. No, indeed, Etihai said to him, listen, David, don't discourage me, you know. Where you are, I'm going to be. Where you live, I'm going to live. Where you die, I'm going to die. This is it. This is what is caused when you have, as it were, it was said, when we have Christ before us, the bridegroom. Bridegroom is not brethrenism, brethren. It is not doctrine. It is not where you go. It's who do you know? Who are you really occupied with this man? Indeed, this man, indeed, who is my soul? Will you go with this man? He says, yes. Yes, I will go. And when we dwell on this, you find it have a sanctifying effect on our lives. The Apostle Paul says that I may know him. And he came and he says, those things that were gained to me, I count but refuge. It's like when David came back, being rejected. And Mephibosheth came to him. And he says, David said, why didn't go with me? He says, you know, Ziba wasn't honest with me. He said, didn't I tell you and Ziba to share up and take? He said, man, let Ziba take all. Give it to him. King, I am so glad to see you. This is what it produces, brethren. When I dwell on the suffering love of Christ. You know what one brother said to me? He said, Brother Brian, before I go to the breaking of bread, I always read John chapter 19. To get a sense that I may have an appreciation for the place of being where I've been brought. And why I am going to remember him. Because he first remembered us. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Wonderful. But it is the church he bled and died for. What a sacrifice. Laid on his life. Laid on his life. One man. His wife was in the fire. Was in the fire. And people holding him back. And you hear the fire engine coming. And Roy, he couldn't take it no more. He went into the fire, you know. Went into the fire. And fought off the people. His wife wasn't there. Wife wasn't there, I tell you. I went to the hospital to see him. He was burnt all over his body. And just here, wasn't burnt. He took out his wife out of the fire. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. You dwell upon that. What he went in for you. Face all, listen, from the hands of men, and then from the hands of God, God shut him in thick darkness. And God dealt with him. And I tell you, not even the wrath of God could quench that love. All God wears over him roll. But I tell you, his love to the utmost was tried, but endured firmly as a rock. This is what God wants to. This is what Christ is giving. He said, listen, I want to beautify you for presentation. He says, not only so. He gives them, hear what he says. Not only the myrrh. 6 months. With sweet odors. 6 months. Imagine, you dwell 6 months. 6 months under suffering love of Christ. They will never be the same. Never be the same. 6 months. You know the ark was 3 months in Obadiah's house. Read it. In 2 Samuel. Yeah. 3 months. They were taking up the ark. And the Ohio put his hands. And God smote him. Don't handle Jesus. Hey, don't. God says, I can support him. We don't need to support him. That's why we don't blow up no place. People talk all kind of nonsense about the Lord Jesus. You don't find any genuine Christian going and blow up the place because they spoke against the Lord. Jesus could defend himself. Okay? And the thing is this. Indeed, here it is. This boy, this man lost his life. And David was so afraid of God. God tell him, listen. Sorry, David went and put it in the house of Obadiah, the Gittite, another Gittite. You know, 3 months it stayed there. It changed the man's house. They told David, God has blessed the house of Obadiah because Jesus was there. Because Jesus was there. Brethren, here it is. He says, 6 months. Suffering love of Christ. And 6 months, sweet odors. What is that? Sweet odors. Boy, you know, when Jesus was here, his life was such a fragrance to God that God looked down on him. And God says, this is my beloved son in whom I found all my delight. Nobody like him. You feast upon that. You feast upon the fact. At the age of 12, you know what Jesus said? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Then after, not only that, we read that he says, I must be about my father's business. My meat and my drink is to do the will of him that sent me. Indeed, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, he rise a great while before they entered into a solitary place and there prayed. It was him who said, not my will, but thy will be done. It's him who said, Father, I've glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work that thou hast given me to do. Now glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I dwell with thee before the world was. You feast upon that and see what happened. Just spend some time eating and feasting upon the moral perfections of Christ. I tell you, you are going to be beautified. You know why? It's an application of getting up and getting the manna morning by morning. Now, think about the manna. You had to get down. You have to humble yourself. The features, the moral features of Christ, as you feast upon that, the moral fragrances, I tell you, boy, listen, you know what Psalm says? Never a man spoke like this man. What man of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. What gracious words proceed out of his mouth. One chap said to me, you know, witnessing to him and tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, listen, let me tell you this. Jesus came from India. And he went those silent years. He says that he was in India learning things from the guru. I started to laugh. He says, why are you laughing at? I says, listen here. When you read about Christ, he always did those things that pleased the Father. The only country the Lord Jesus went to was Egypt. That's what the scripture says. He went down into Egypt, and God says, out of Egypt have I called my son. And God says, look at him. That's why the bride in the Songs of Solomon described him from head to toe. Indeed, look at his head. Bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are like eyes of dove. Washed in milk and fitly set. She talked about his mouth. His mouth is more sweet. Then she spoke about his belly, his legs. And then after she said, wow, indeed he is altogether lovely. Sanctifying effect. Tell you how much. Young man, you know, I tell you, when the Lord showed me my wife was mine, I took a train, two trains, and I went to see her, the house. But I tell you, one day I came out the house and I says, you mean to say I had to go back all that way, take that train and go back? And you know, I did the same thing again and again and again. And he says, boy, love make you do strange things. You do strange things. So, her mother gave me some trouble. And I tell you this. I said, I finished with it. I done it. And I had a friend called Angel Plummer. He and his wife used to fight like cat and dog. And I tell you, I used to counsel him. And so one day he called me 2 o'clock in the morning. I was discouraged. And he said to me, he said, Brian, I says, yeah. He said, wait here. Is this Brian Baptiste? I said, yeah. Is this Brian Baptiste who witnessed, who tell Robin and I about? I said, yes. He said, what happened to you? I said, boy, I'm discouraged, boy. Dini's mother giving me trouble. Boy, I tell you, when he finished with me, he says, no, man, if this is the Lord's will for me, jump in the ring and start to fight for what you want. Boy, I tell you, when he finished talking, boy, I kept up and said, wow. Boy, I tell you, I'm ready. I tell you, I didn't want nobody in the corner because I want no towel. I decided I'm not surrendering. I tell you, he gave me a fighting spirit to say I am going to take possession of what is mine. And I tell you, that's what the Lord Jesus did. Indeed, all the beating, all the spitting, all the scourging, all the insult, he says, I'm going to take it because I'm going to purchase that field and get that pearl of great price. This is the attitude we need, brethren. But it have a sanctifying effect. When I look not only at the moral perfections of Christ, not only what I look at the suffering love of Christ, but then after he says, other things were given. What is the other things? The Old Testament couldn't bring it out. Because all the Old Testament knew was the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. But no, indeed, what it is bringing before us is this. Indeed, there is a man in the glory. It have a sanctifying effect, brethren. There is a man who was here, who died for the church, shed his precious blood, and he purchased her, lived a life that she could reflect him. Indeed, being absent, she could reflect him in this world. He is out, but indeed his bride is here, and she should reflect his moral features. But no, indeed it says, as you look up, indeed, this same man who died on the cross, the same man who lived here, is not where he was, is where he is. He is at the right hand of God, crowned with glory and honor. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it tells us, you know, indeed, as it were, we can look up and view the glory of the Lord. And be changed from glory to glory as we are occupied with him in glory. Listen, you want to be changed? You really want change? You really want to reflect the features of the church now, the sanctifying aspect? He's preparing her. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, please. Second Corinthians and chapter 3 and verse 18. For we all, with open faces beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a change that takes place. Not only when I look at the suffering love of Christ and his moral perfections here. But I see other things. There he is. You know, it transformed Paul, you know, on the road to Damascus. He saw a light. Then it became a great light. Then it became a light above the brightness of the noonday sun. And the apostle Paul is who told by the Spirit of God, who told us that he is at the right hand of God. And when you read the book of Hebrews, five times, you find he's seated there. Chapter 1, he's sitting there because of who he is. He's God over all, blessed forever. This is the beauty. We are bones of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Then he tells us in chapter 1 verse 13, it's because of his preeminence. When we get into chapter 8, it's because of his priesthood. In chapter 10, it's because of his perfect sacrifice. And chapter 12, it's because of his moral perfection. He is there. I tell you, take a good look. Take a good look. You try it. Go in your city and tell them, there is a man in the glory. They will think, indeed, you're talking about the space station. They have no knowledge that there is a man in the presence of God. And it tells us, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of the Christ should shine unto them. Listen, as it shines and God says, I want to put the icing on the cake. The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at it. Look at it. You mean to say, I am going to let this world distract me and from looking
upon that man in the glory.
This is what was given to Esther. And know what happened? She won the beauty contest. She won the beauty contest. All, she outshined every one of them. And I tell you, your life now, with the work of Christ on you, and the meditation of your heart, I tell you, people are going to say you are different. And they wouldn't know what it is. I think in Canada, I was telling them that. I have a cousin, you see. And very brilliant. And as she's brilliant, they wrote her parents. And they told her parents that she is too humble. You need to be a little more aggressive and more assertive. She would not make it in this world. I tell my uncle, nonsense. Tear up that paper. And send back and says, thank you for the commendation. Okay? It was a very good one. You know where she is now? She's married and she's working in Guatemala for the United States of America. The same young lady that says she will make no progress if she's not more aggressive, because the world cannot understand the meekness and gentleness of Jesus. They can't understand, indeed, the features that comes out in Christ. It is more blessed to give than to receive. This world is, you give me, I'm giving you nothing. It's completely opposite. And these are things that are going to be manifested presently in my life if I am occupied with these things that has been given to Esther. Change is going to come. You hear people says, no love here. You know why? They have no love. They lack what they want to see. And they blame everybody else for what they don't have. But the symptom is, listen, I realize now, you know, I have counseled people for years. For years. I marry people and I bury people. Okay? I have a license to bury people, put them on the ground and commit them to the earth. I have a marriage license. And you know, when you look at a marriage and a burial, there's two things they have in common. The dead man have no rights. And the marriage person have no rights. You give up your rights when you get married. You hear that, single people? Brian know that. JT Garrington to know that. I ain't gonna call your name. John, you have no rights. Your job is to please your wife. And the husband's job is to please the wife. The wife is to please the husband, and the husband to please the wife. That is what the Lord Jesus is accomplishing. He wants a wife to answer to him in all moral perfection and affection. I tell you, and he's working. We want to turn to Psalm 45. In Psalm 45 is one of the maskil psalms. And it's a psalm of love. A song of loves. It's maskil. From the sons of Korah, maskil, a song of loves. And here it is speaking about the king. It is speaking about love. And there are three claims also that we need to dwell on. One is the claims of grace. Grace has been poured into his lips. Thou art fairer, he said in He says, my heart is bubbling up in a good matter. I speak of things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of the ready, of a ready writer. Do you know? You cannot speak about the bridegroom unless you are occupied with him. You cannot write a composition. This writer here wrote something about the king, wrote something about the bridegroom, the one he loves. And you find one, I said, they asked some couples to write something like Verrall had here, says some things about your mate. So he wrote on the paper, yes, I love her. I want to be with her. So they asked him, what is your wife's name? They didn't put it on the paper. To his surprise, to the people's surprise, he called his wife second name. Because she says, no, we want first name. He forgot his wife's name. This is true, brethren. It's true. Could you forget your husband? Could you forget the person you love? Hear what he says. He says, when I remember. Verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O mighty. And with thy glory and majesty. And in thy majesty write prosperously. Because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrow shall be sharp in the heart of the king's enemy, whereby the people shall fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, even thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So we have his claims of us because of grace and his power. But this is the verse. Out of all thy garments smell of myrrh, of aloes, of cassia, out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. Three things. Again, myrrh, aloes, cassia. No, we don't have to go over myrrh again. But aloes is this. You know, they use the aloes, they say aloe vera, to put in the head. But that is what this means. The aloes means it is a tree that is found in India. And it's when you split it down the middle, it gives off a wonderful aroma and wonderful scent. It is when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, rarely brought to light the depths of his love. To fathom it, we cannot. When you come to acacia, it's love that never ends. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. Nobody like Jesus. But what he's doing, let's go back quickly to the book of Ephesians. As she traversed this wilderness pathway, as she is the object of the Lord's affection, and as he waits, and as he works for that day of presentation, I tell you. You know, my wife could tell you, we have a friend. We have a friend. And he had liked this young lady. They plan to get married. And he gives some money for the hall and what's not. But then, what happened? She spent the money. He was so upset. He says, you know what? It's over. It's over. No, you tell me. Money and a commitment. This is what John was saying. He engaged. The bridegroom left to go and prepare the place to bring her home. So he went to glory and he promised that he will return. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. So what happened? The bridegroom gets engaged. And now he goes home to build a house to bring home the bride. But while he is waiting, indeed that bride longs indeed for that union. Longs indeed to be brought there. But his heart is the same. But as I am occupied with him, it says absence make the heart go fonder. Listen here, as you are occupied with him, it have a magnet that pass from yours, a cable, sorry, that pass from yours to his. And I tell you, join me. And you know what the scripture says? It's like an anchor for the soul. An anchor. You won't go anywhere. You don't have no cable to your wife. And I have no cable to my wife. I go all over the place. You can imagine I down in Africa and they throw a cable to hook me to my wife. There is something that is holding me to her. What it is? It got to be something greater than the air and the plane because I keep coming back. So the fact is this, brethren, it is because of affection. Christ cannot do without his wife. He cannot do without his bride. I tell you, indeed, that's why a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to be glued to his wife. And the Lord Jesus says, listen, I am looking forward to you coming to glory and I'm preparing that place. But right now, I want you to reflect in this world who I am. And have a heart for what he is. You know, as brethren, listen. My hair used to be black. I have some gray now, as you see. This is new to me. A couple of years now. Probably 20. We are getting older. But one thing about the bride, she is getting younger. The bride of Christ. She gets more beautiful. And all it reflects is the work, the present ministry of Christ. What is he doing? Hear what it says he's doing. He says, love, past love, he gave himself for her. Presently, in verse 26, that he may sanctify her and cleanse her by washing of water by the word of God. Again, the various aspects. What the future? And we're going to take this up tomorrow. He says that's future, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I want to close with the Song of Songs and chapter 1. And verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. He was brought into the house of wine. But he gets so intimate. Let him kiss me. For thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth, therefore that the virgins love thee. Again, this virgin aspect is brought forward. Separated. You are pure for him. And he tells them, hear the language. Draw me. Draw me after you. We will run after thee. The king had brought me into his chamber. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. And we will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Oh, I tell you, imagine this. The language, the assurance of love. And the bride in chapter 5 says, tell him I love him, I love him, I love him. The work of Christ. And that day of presentation. Since we want, some of us who are married, look forward to that day. Boy, I tell you, it was a wonderful day for me. Wonderful day. Nothing to be compared with Christ and his bride. Brethren, we want to link tomorrow with Eve, Adam and Eve. A compliment to Christ. We want to look at Joseph and Asenath. Who will administrate with Christ in a day to come. Brethren, may I really dwell on that suffering love of Christ. Dwell on the fragrant graces and other things up there where he is. Nothing separates me from this world as these things is used to beautify myself to be presented to him. I married many. Never see an ugly bride yet. They dress the best. They want to look their best. Why should we not have the best for our Lord? But he is doing this work for the presentation. For his name's sake. Amen. Amen.